And we have Karen, and she's going to talk to us about what Sail Blue is doing and what they hope to do in the future.
Exactly. Thanks very much for having us again, guys. We really appreciate it. Sail Blue Ireland, I'm one of the managers of Sail Blue Ireland, and we are an exercise social enterprise that are dedicated to improving older people, people living with chronic disease and physical and intellectual disabilities, and making sure that everybody stays active and fit as we get older. Some of you might remember from a couple of months ago, I was here with the lovely Jennifer Sweeney, who is one of our greatest champions. She's able to do up to 150 squats in one session.
Even thinking about that, it fatigued me.
I was trying to convince Austin to do some during the break, but I don't know if I can get him to do some, but we might give it a go.
You can leave me on the ground. That's just one example of the type of influence you have on people. Maybe you'll tell us, you meet down at Corpus Christi, isn't it?
That's correct,
And how many members have you got?
In across Ireland, we have 6,000 people. Every single week they're partaking in our classes. I know the ones in Corpus Christi, they're up to 25, and we have two groups in Artain as well that people are welcome to join, and they're up to, I think there are 20 people in those groups as well, 20 to 30, and anybody's more than welcome just to come onto our website and have a look at any of the classes that are near them. But yeah, at the moment we're working with about 6,000 people every single week, and we hope to get up to 10,000 by the end of 2022.
Yeah, well, 2022 is only just sort of around the corner.
If we
be into 2020 very shortly. And,
bit of a shock to the system, isn't it? Very, very
1920s. It is a bit of a shock to the system, and there's all sorts of other things happening with regard to 2020, but that's in the future.
Exactly.
And... you're in the present.
Correct.
And you're doing all sorts of things. But maybe you should give us a little insight into what kind of activities you do.
Sure. So we employ these fantastic team of sports scientists. So typically you might find them if you're watching a match, and you know you can see them helping the team to... you regain one second faster in their running or something that. And we take that kind of theory and apply it to what we call a different type of athlete. So like we had a man in Drumcondra called John who wanted to tie his shoelaces by himself for the first time in 4 years. And we helped him to be able to do that through exercise.
Through squats.
I think it was... It depends on the person. Not everybody is up squatting. But there are definitely a lot more people can do it than they think they can do it.
Yeah, well, that's the positive attitude, you
see. Exactly.
You know, why not?
Exactly. And that's it. All of our trainers try to harbour this safe and inclusive environment. Mm-hmm. So when people come in to do exercise classes with us, we encourage them to just try something. If they can't do it, that's completely fine. We completely understand. But just to try a simple, standing up from a chair and sitting back down again, that's technically a squat.
Yeah.
So, it's something that we do all the time, but it's building up that muscle so that we can be able to get up out of a chair easier. And we're not getting...
I think we just come back to that.
Sure,
now,
no problem.
Hello, well, we're back again now after that. And I'm just going talking to Carla just before the break, and we're going to talk to her after the break. Now, you have expanding, and you have different groups in different places, and maybe you tell us exactly what you try to do and motivate people, and how you motivate people. You know, some people are very easy to motivate, and others are very, very stubborn.
Absolutely.
I couldn't be doing that. That'd break me back.
Well, we just try to encourage people. So when everybody comes into one of our classes, we just try to encourage them just to try something very simple. Try a bit of an activity. Give us 10 minutes of your time. See how you feel. We find that some people, if they might come in, they might be a bit nervous. They might not have exercised since they were a kid in secondary school playing on a team or something like that.
Or in the schoolyard.
Exactly. So what we do is we just try to give them a bit of time. Mm. There's no pressure when you come into one of our classes, just to see how it fits for you. Mm. Take the first 5-10 minutes, even just observe, see what's happening, and then maybe just try a little bit of the warm-up. So as we were speaking there on the break, Austin, it's just simple exercises to get people moving, to get the blood flowing, to get your strength up and build it up. So, you know, twisting and rotating the wrists, rotating your shoulders back, just trying to get that blood flowing in. And we find that, you know, especially we work across the spectrum in all different types of places. So we work in nursing homes, in the community, daycare centres. We work with patient groups like COPD Support Ireland and in people's private homes. And we even notice, like, if you go into a nursing home, somebody might be very resistant to trying it, saying, this is not for me, you know, I can't do that. Don't be silly. And then, you know, 15, 20 minutes into the class, you might see somebody just start to follow along with one or two things. We try to make it a very fun environment as well. Yeah. So we're bringing in games into all of the classes that we do, no matter where we are. Something that brings a bit of team spirit, gets a bit
Donkey.
Of... Exactly. Just something to, you know, either maybe some kind of a ball game or something passing.
Yeah.
And they can be quite fun and quite... there can be a good sense of competition as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, it's like the one-legged man now to play football.
Exactly. So you're all of a sudden, you know... It's bringing people alive when they start to have a bit of competition. So we just try to encourage, there's no pressure on anybody who wants to come in and just see for themselves how they feel about one of the classes.
Yeah, and you know, some people it's very easy to motivate, and others it's, you know, all sorts of things. But to build up the confidence, that's the first thing, of course, you know.
And just to give it a simple try, you know, it doesn't have to be, you don't all have to be like Jennifer, who was here a couple of months ago, doing her 150 squats. No, we don't have to do that. You know, that can seem very intimidating to somebody. But even a simple activity like standing up from a chair and sitting back down again, that's technically a squat.
Yes,
so you're building up that strength, building up that muscle memory, so you're able to do those things, and we can keep you active then as you get older.
And progression slowly.
Exactly.
Slowly. And you'd be surprised, you know.
You'd be surprised what you can do. Yeah. There's a whole sports psychology behind it, but I won't get into that. I won't bore you with the details. But it's trying to encourage people just to try something very simple and to be able to do something further.
They do something very similar to that in GCU.
That's correct, fantastic program up there as well.
They've moved out to Swords Road now. But you build the confidence slowly but surely. Some people very quickly, some people very slowly. And
I think it's when people start to understand the benefits that they have from it, when they start to feel the benefits of it. So we had a man named Noel who was part of our stroke survivor program, and he had 10 strokes and prostate cancer and a hip replacement all within the space of a couple of years. So he was quite, you know, he's really feeling down on himself, and he came along to the class and he just tried it for a while. And the strokes that he had affected his chemical side of his brain. So he wasn't feeling physical results. He was feeling more emotional. So he was having issues with his emotions. And he said that after just a couple of weeks of doing the classes, he reduced his emotional episodes, and he was able to get out and interact and be with his family and play with his grandchildren more. Mm-hmm. He was even able to walk up to 10 kilometres every single day now. So he walks to the exercise class and walks back. This is a 78-year-old man.
10 kilometres.
10 kilometres every single day, without fail. He'll get out, hail, rain, sunshine.
The weather is immaterial, what it's like.
Carla, how do you manage to get people to continually come and you know, get on with the exercise through time? Like, you know, I can understand them being a bit fascinated, like yet the lady Jennifer who came to see us, and she would create a nice atmosphere in a place for people to say, well, they could look up to her and say, we could try that. But how do you manage to keep them coming, you know? Because, you know, after maybe a few weeks, do you have a big fall away? Or
we find that there's two reasons why people start to come back. Is one is our fantastic team of physical trainers. We have the most wonderful team of really young, really vibrant people who are very encouraging and very supportive of our older people and our people with physical or intellectual disabilities. They're really trying to create this environment where people want to come. it's fun, it's inclusive. Yes. You know, it's not just, this is not coming and going to the gym and lifting weights because you have to do this. This is something, this is a social outing for people.
Yeah, so it's more turning it into a social club.
Exactly,
sort of.
Yeah. So you're creating a team of people.
Okay.
So you might split the room into two and people are working together.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I was out in the Drumcondra class a couple of months ago and the trainer out there, Neve, at the time, she split the group into two and we had a relay race, old school relay race. There are people who are in their late 50s, there are people who were up to ladies, I think they were in their mid 80s, who were doing that class. And you take it at your own pace, but you're working together. Mm-hmm. And that's the important part. So it's that kind of creating fun environment. And then the second point is that it's when people start to realise what they can do themselves and what they can actually achieve. Like when we went to Jennifer at the start, Jennifer was an esophageal cancer survivor. She couldn't even lift up her little dog, her little tiny Jack Russell Muffin. She could hardly walk up the stairs, let alone get outside and go and do anything by herself. But after only a couple of weeks, our trainer Paul introduced a TRX system, which is basically almost like a bungee rope kind of thing that hangs out of the wall. And he said, okay, we're going to try and do some squats. And when she heard this, she thought this was the most ridiculous idea she had ever heard in her whole life. She's like, I can't even get up the stairs. How am I going to be able to do squats? Don't be silly. And Paul just said, just try one. Let's try one. If you can do one, let's go. And one turned into two, turned into 20, to 100, and 150.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting people to understand how simple exercises can lead to more. And, you know, we might say that she can do 150 squats, but what does that mean in her daily life? That means she's got the strength in her legs to walk up the stairs. She lives on the hill in Howth, so she's got to get up that hill. That's some hill. You know what it's like trying to get up there. So she needs to be able to have the aerobic capacity to do that. She needs to be able to breathe enough to do that. That means that if she wanted to get down on the floor to clean underneath something, she's the strength in her legs to get back up again. It's building simple exercises that actually lead to activities of daily living. So if you're in a class and you're working on your shoulders, or you're doing an exercise where you're reaching over your head, that means you're going to be able to reach up to the cupboard and grab your cup for your cup of tea. Or, you know, if you're bending down, you might be able to bend down to pick up your shopping and bring it into the house. And it's making sure that people are independent as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real impact of it.
Yeah, I suppose when you look in a mirror of sorts and you see yourself as becoming more fit, you want to stay that way. So that's the only way to do it, is continuation of your exercises and your social outing as well, you know.
Absolutely. We look at CL Black classes as a triple fold. So you've got your obvious physical benefits. So, you know, you're stronger, you're able to do things better. But then you've got your social, because you're coming together, you meeting new people that you might not have ever met before, or somebody that you might have seen across the road or down at the shopping centre but you've never spoken to. They might end up at the same class as you. And when you combine those two things, it really leads to better mental health. And that's something that's really important as we get older. Mm-hmm. Social isolation is extremely prevalent for older people, you know, empty nest syndrome.
Yeah.
It's trying to get people to be social, and then leads to better mental health. There are some people that we speak to who will say that this is the only social outing that they have in their entire week. This is the only thing that they can get out to do. And it's so important that people have that outlet and somewhere for them to go.
Yeah.
Apart from doing the exercises and down at Corpus Christi, any other physical activities, like do you go for walks in the summer, that type of thing, walk and talk and all this type of thing?
So we have four different community-based programs. Mm-hmm. So they're completely different ranges. So like the ones in Corpus Christi is more of a stay active, almost aerobics for older people. We have an up and grow program, up and go, where you would go out and go for a walk around a park, but we'd stop along the way and do some really good exercises. Yeah, so it's both the aerobic part and the strength building part, but that's in the outdoors, getting out and seeing some nice scenery while you're doing so. And we have a fall prevention class. We have a chair gym class for people who might not be able to stand up while they exercise. Mm-hmm. And we also have a range of other programs for people living with different diseases. So for the likes of COPD or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, one of the elderly people, that's one of the
major, and they might not even know they have COPD.
That's it, Austin. Mm-hmm. There's an estimated now 500,000 people living with COPD in Ireland, and there's only about 250,000 of them, if even, have been diagnosed. So there is a severe lack of somewhere for people to go after they have been diagnosed, and then they're referred through the hospital-based pulmonary program. And we're giving people the opportunity to continue the pulmonary exercise element of that in community-based settings.
COPD is chronic disease of the lungs,
It is. So it restricts your airway, so you can't breathe as easily.
Pollution is one of the main factors.
Of course, all sorts of things.
And it depends where you live, etc. But that seems to be one of the major diseases that actually stop people from getting out and doing things.
But
if you get over that portal, you're flying.
That's completely it, Austin. There's a spiral of decline associated with COPD and with many other chronic diseases where somebody will think, well, I'm having trouble breathing, so I'm not going to go to exercise where I'm going to have more trouble breathing. That seems ridiculous.
But actually, it's
completely different. If you go and you just start off slow, as we've been saying, start off, do what you can and build up your aerobic capacity. Mm-hmm. We have an award-winning program called Exercise COPD and Me, which takes off where that hospital-based pulmonary program leads. We have 24 COPD groups now across Ireland. There's one in Whitehall, there's one in Finglas, and there's a couple more around the Dublin area. So brilliant groups. And we've actually recently conducted a social return on investment study, which we're going to be sharing the results of in January. So we might come back in January and share those results with you.
That would be fantastic. So
it's showing not only the impact to the person and on their physical, mental and social well-being, but it's also showing the impact on the people around them. And also on society as well.
As a senior citizen who might be a widower, and the family might have moved away, and they're on their own. Or then again, they have families who are actually directing them tell them to do this, that, and the other thing, which they're quite capable of doing themselves. You can't be going out to shop. It's going to be slippy, this type of thing. And, that moves on to the abuse of the elderly, but that's another subject for another day. And mental health, you mentioned there. Now, mental health appears to be a major increase in Ireland. Now, they're always focusing on younger people at the moment, but it can affect older people as well.
Of course it can. Absolutely. As much as it can, younger people, especially as we were saying with social isolation, with people. If you are not able to do the things that we all take for granted every single day, if you think about it, most of us every morning we'll get up and have a shower, or in the evening we'll get up and have a shower. If that's taken away from you, if you physically are not able to do that anymore, the impact on your mental health is going to be quite detrimental.
Worry is, of course, one of the major things that snarts mental health. Worrying about, because you've nothing to worry about, maybe.
But as well, worrying about how you're going to be able to do something, your physical capabilities. Are you going to end up back in hospital again? Hospital stays can have a detrimental effect on people's mental health. And that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to keep people out of hospital. So keep them in their community, living at home and being contributing members of society, so that we can reduce the effects on the emergency departments, and that we can keep people fit and active and healthy and working if they want to, or volunteering or playing with their grandchildren, and simple activities that we all
have. You ever had volunteers from your patients, so to speak? You know, your people.
Some of our participants, they might help with, you know, the signing in of people and things like that.
I meant pretty, you know, minor things, just to getting them in the groove of the organization. You know,
we've had some wonderful volunteers who are helping with photographs or helping with things like that. They've been really brilliant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very important to stay active and to stay involved.
Yes,
in different
no, that's
ways.
What I'm talking about. Yeah, people getting involved in all sorts. I mean, like, you suddenly become a tea and sandwich person, you know, or you might even become a person who is a bit musical, you know, whatever, you know.
There's so many ways that you can do, you know, and going back and finding something that you might have been really interesting you in the past that you didn't have time for, and going back now and being able to have the time to go and help people and impart that wisdom onto other people. It's very important. And we have so many fantastic people out there who can share things with us that, you know, it's brilliant to give them the functional capabilities in order to do so.
You mentioned photography, you know. Not doing photography, but photography in the past. Nostalgia.
Yeah.
Do you remember this, that and the other? Joe would be asking Mary, you know, and I remember that place well. That goes... friendships start there, and then there's the conversations and all.
Yeah, there's a lot of people nowadays too are into family trees and that stuff, you know.
Yeah, and tracing your lineage in
any of your places of where you work, do you have any sort of a place where people could bring in a photograph?
Not for us, because what we do is we go in and we would just rent out a room for an hour or something. A lot of the community centres, and I know a lot of the nursing homes, they do activities like that where they're tracing back the lineage. It's fantastic activity for people. And there's so many ways now that you can do that with the Ancestry DNA or any of those, 23andMe, you know, or I think that's the name of it, you know. So many different ways that you can learn about your heritage that you didn't have access to before.
And being involved in a few of those things, I did notice that older people in particular, including myself, like to bring into the club or the hub or whatever it is, and a photograph of themselves in maybe in a relay race or in a football team or where a few years before that. But it's nice, it gives them a little bit of a lift themselves. Oh, is that you, Arthur? Good God. You were very tall, or you were, you know, you had a very slim figure, or whatever you had at the time.
He's boasting now.
it's good for conversations.
Well, that's what I mean.
Well.
I have seen it happen. It makes more for the people, and then people will come back again. So I'm always thinking about getting people in the run of things.
The groove.
In the groove that they keep coming back.
That's it. Finding some way for people to be engaged is so important.
And of course, engagement of any description is very, very important. If you don't engage with whatever you're doing, you might not want to be there at all.
Of course.
And in the future now, and have you any plans for the future? If you're looking after 6,000 people, that in itself is a mammoth task. But down the road, you know.
Yeah, so we have quite a few plans coming up. I know at the end of this month, or actually on the 10th of December, we've been shortlisted for a Social Enterprise Award for the Charity Impact Awards, which is run by The Wheel, which is a fantastic organisation helping the non-profit sector. And that if we were able to win that that award, it would help to improve our visibility and for us to be able to scale up our program so that we can reach the 10,000 people a week that we want to by the end of 2022. So we're hoping to have nationwide coverage. So at the moment we're in 20 counties, and we're going to be hopefully in all 26 counties by the end of 2022. So we have big ambitions, Austin. But that's one fantastic thing that's happening for us now at the end of the year, is to be shortlisted for that award. Is such an honour, and that's that's really about the impact that we have on our participants.
And are there many contestants?
There are five different organisations have been shortlisted in our category. And if anyone wanted to have a look at the website, you can have a look at all the five different organisations or the social enterprises, and to give any of us a vote if you feel so inclined. And the website for that is just charityimpactawards.ie. That's pretty much that's it.
And you can take off whatever.
You can, you can vote for CL Bleu if you'd like to, or if anybody would like a direct link, they can give us a call directly, or give us an email and we can send out the link to vote for CL Bleu directly. The only thing I have to say is, unfortunately, you do have to have an email address in order to be able to vote, which I know is a barrier for some people.
Well, it definitely is a barrier for me.
It's quite unfortunate. It's something that has been raised by other people as well, and we hope that maybe next year that might be rectified for those who don't have email addresses but want
and
to vote.
Of course, there's all sorts of classes now for free gratis for teaching how to use a computer.
Of course, there's some amazing different organisations. I know Age Action do some fantastic work with teaching people, but I know it can be a barrier. But
it's like they're saying, sure, I wouldn't be able to do that. Like,
that's it. But you just have to give it a go.
Just give it a go,
and you never know what'll happen.
You get lost pretty quickly, and then, but keep at it. And
thanks very
much. No, it's very, very. That's the way the world. We're going all IT, everything.
That's it. But if anybody had, their grandchildren or their children wanted to vote, if you wanted to, it's just charityimpactawards.com. Or if you wanted to give CL Bleu a call on 01209 6889, we can link you or send you in the right direction towards voting if you were so way inclined.
Both early and often.
Exactly. we would appreciate every single vote. I think we're in second place at the moment. So.
Well, let's hope you get over the hurdle. And what does the award, does it contain, is it a financial award? Or
No, it's just for the recognition.
Award,
which is really important for us. To show we know the impact that our programs have on our participants, and it's going to be fantastic for the rest of the world to know. And we've actually used Jennifer, who was here a few months ago. She is our case study we used as to show the impact.
I saw her on the bus stops.
That's it. You saw her on the bus stop. She's everywhere. She's famous. This is the year of Jennifer. Jennifer Sweeney.
A very good way of putting it. Yeah. The year of Jennifer. That could be a slogan.
It could be. So, she's fantastic. So she's actually helped us in showing the impact that we have. So, and if anyone wanted to get in touch with us or to come to one of our community classes, there was a full list on our website, which is CL. I know it's a little bit confusing, but it's SIELBLEU.ie.
CL Bleu will do me.
CL Bleu. And then our phone number again is 01209 6889.
Yes, and of course, that's Blue Skies in English.
That's it. That's the one.
Are you showing off now, Austin?
No, I'm afraid I'm not. You explained that to us the last time.
We did.
Yes. Now, I'd like to thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
And we're always here when you want anything done or anything promoted or whatever.
We'll be back in January with the results of that report. God willing.
Let's hope with the awards.
Keep your fingers crossed for us.
It's no good coming back and we have to come for
us. We give you 100 marks for enthusiasm.
Thanks very much. I appreciate that.
Okay, and till the next time, thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks for coming in. Thanks.
Thank you.
Lovely to see you.